Now, KSFR at noon looks at today's top local news headlines for this Tuesday, June 25th. Fire managers are hoping they can bring the Horoso fire under control before long, despite the fact that it's currently at 0% containment. The fire, east of Española, has been burning in rugged terrain that prevents any ground crews from getting near it. Santa Feans saw a huge plume of smoke yesterday as winds fanned the blaze. The newest report out late this morning has shown the acreage involved has increased to just under 8,000. The fire is most active on its southeastern flank. Fire glow was visible in the overnight hours from Pecos. Smoke is expected to remain widely visible and increase over the next several days. Meanwhile, with the high risk of wildfire, officials closed the Santa Fe National Forest completely yesterday. Hyde Memorial State Park, just north of Santa Fe, is also closed. A bill to overhaul the U.S. immigration system has passed a key hurdle after the Senate approved a $38 billion increase in border security. After Monday night's 67-27 vote, the bill is seen as likely to pass. New Mexico Senator Tom Udall is an ardent proponent for extensive immigration reform and notes how important it is to our state and its residents.
We're a border state. New Mexicans understand what is at stake. We know how important comprehensive immigration reform is, that we need an immigration system that secures our borders, strengthens our families, and supports our economy. This bill has elements of that reform. It creates a pathway to earn citizenship for dreamers, builds upon our efforts to secure our borders, and enhances our visa and employment verification systems, and it will benefit our economy. The Congressional Budget Office reports that this bill could reduce our deficit by $900 billion in the first two decades.
A bronze statue standing outside Santa Fe City Hall today is the likeness of Medal of Honor recipient Sergeant Leroy Petrie. The statue was unveiled in ceremonies yesterday after Petrie made a parachute drop from a small airplane onto the grounds of Fort Marcy. Petrie is a native Santa Fean who lost a hand while trying to save fellow soldiers in Afghanistan. Today, an official ceremony will rename the South Meadows Bridge that spans the Santa Fe River in Petrie's honor. Some 1,400 Bernalillo County employers outside Albuquerque city limits will have to start paying a higher minimum wage come July 1st. That's the day the minimum wage goes up to $8. It goes up again on January 1st to $8.50. Businesses inside Albuquerque already pay the higher minimum. Meanwhile, a group in Santa Fe is hoping to get the county commission to consider raising the minimum wage to Santa Fe City's $10.51 an hour. Several items that City Hall has been mulling over through various committees arrive at full City Council tomorrow. The governing body will discuss that free parking provision for patrons of the rail yard's proposed movie complex. Also up for review is the city's contract with an out-of-state insurance underwriter, offering Santa Feans limited liability in the event of water or sewer line repairs on private property. And a public hearing will be held on that proposal to prohibit the transfer, possession, or sale of large-capacity feeder devices for firearms ammunition in the city of Santa Fe. The Senate Appropriations Committee has approved funding for essential military construction projects for New Mexico's Air Force bases with a total price tag of some $148 million. Of that, some $30 million will go to Kirtland Air Force Base for a nuclear systems wing. $60 million of that money will go toward replacing the medical clinic at Holloman Air Force Base. 60 new apartments in Santa Fe will be the scene of a ribbon-cutting ceremony later today. They're newly built affordable housing units at the site of the old Stagecoach Inn on Cerrillos Road. Prospective tenants must earn less than 60% of the city's median income. Today's New Mexican pegs the cost of the project at about $12 million. Both Mayor Koss and Governor Susana Martinez will officiate at this afternoon's presentation ceremony. A bicyclist hit by a car along St. Francis Drive late Monday morning has been identified as 50-year-old Andy Maillard. He's said to be in critical condition in the intensive care unit at Christa St. Vincent Regional Medical Center. The driver of the car swerved but could not stop in time when the cyclist turned in front of him. Maillard was not wearing a helmet. And weather for Santa Fe, sunny, hot, and dry weather is forecast for the next few days. Highs today in the upper 80s will hit the mid-90s by Thursday. A very slight chance for isolated showers arrives Friday. Overnight lows throughout the period between 55 and 60 degrees. Meanwhile, current Santa Fe temperature now 80 degrees. And at noon now segues to today's feature stories. As of January 1, 2014, the nation's Affordable Care Act will be fully up and running. One of the most important details is the creation of a health insurance exchange, which will offer health insurance for people who are uninsured. The New Mexico Exchange has released some preliminary data on the expected rate structures for the policies. Joining us now is Barbara Weber, the Executive Director for Health Action New Mexico. Barbara, what can we expect for those policy rates?
The Division of Insurance released the preliminary or the proposed rates. They're still pending final approval from the five health plans that are going to be on the exchange in New Mexico. And although we didn't see all the information, people can go to the website and see at the Division of Insurance and see what plans are going to look like. They picked a plan called the Silver Plan. So they picked one of the range of plans that's going to be there for people to be able to look at and see what the prices are. And what's exciting is that according to the Superintendent of Insurance, these are about the same as the current pricing that you see in plans today, even though for a lot of people, the plans are going to be much more robust because we're talking about the individual market and the small group market.
We've heard some reports that the rates being offered by the exchange are actually higher than those a private individual could get now. Is that true?
That I don't know. We haven't seen, you know, as the plans come out that are not on the exchange, we will see. We do have a process in New Mexico called rate review. So if consumers are seeing that their rates don't make sense to them and that they're going to be a burden, there's a process. A public hearing can be called. And the Department of Insurance has now the authority in New Mexico, and that started about a year and a half ago, to really go in and get the justification to make sure that the reasons are justified for increasing rates.
Are people with pre-existing conditions going to be able to get a policy?
In January 2014, no one can be excluded anymore in the insurance market because of their health status. So that is a major shift for us in the United States because insurance has become more and more exclusive for people, either excluding people or excluding a condition or making them pay a much higher price due to a condition they may have. So all of that goes away, and that's the major change, one of the major changes we're really seeing with the health insurance reform, which is to make sure that everyone can get coverage and they're not going to be paying more because of their health condition.
What type of plans will be available?
Yeah, there's going to be a range of four plans, and so people can decide depending on their own health situation, their finances and their family, what they're comfortable with paying. And so you can go to the most expensive premium, and then you're going to have the least amount of copays. And that works well for a family that may have a number of health conditions in their family and know that they need to use the system a lot. They're probably going to benefit by paying a little bit higher premium, but paying a lot less for copays. If you're someone or your family is relatively healthy and you say, you know what, this year we'd just as soon go with a lower premium, you'll be paying a difference in copays. You'll be paying more out of pocket. That may benefit your family because you know you're not going to need to use the system that much.
And how do people sign up for a policy from the exchange?
Starting in October 1st, you'll be able to go to a website in New Mexico, and you'll be able to pre-enroll to what'll be called open enrollment. And that enrollment period is going to go from October 1st through March of next year. So you'll have 6 months to get on the website, or we think there'll be a call center. Not everyone is going to be able to get on a website or feel comfortable doing so. And you can either sign up directly on the website or you can use someone to assist you to make your decisions and make sure you understand everything that's all the choices that you have. Because you're not just going to have the choices between say, one plan or two plans. There are actually five plans that are going to be in the on the exchange, and we think there'll be a sixth one, the national plan. So especially for people in rural areas and places where there has often not been competition for, especially the individual market, there will be the opportunity to compare apples to apples, see what the plans are offering. And one thing that's really important to people, plans will sign up with different providers. So if you have a provider that's really important to you, then you want to check and see if that provider is in the plan that you're looking at.
When will policy payments be due for those signing up for one of the programs?
So people, as soon as they sign up, their premiums will be due in January or, you know, a month or two after they've signed up for their plan. And again, this will be a little bit different. If you're going to be on the exchange signing up, then most people, anyone up to 400% of the poverty level, will have the opportunity to get a subsidy. And those subsidies will be part of the sign-up process. So you'll know what your subsidy is, and then you'll know what your actual premium is. So when people see the premiums that they're looking at that have been published right now by the Division of Insurance, those are not the premiums that most people are going to pay because you're going to get a subsidy. The subsidies are huge because if you're someone, let's say that you're, and they're for anyone who's, you know, 100% up to 400% of poverty level, well, you know, if you're 100 to 138% of the poverty level, you're probably going to want to go onto Medicaid expansion because you're now going to be eligible as an adult, which we weren't before, for Medicaid coverage as well. But if you're someone who's at the lower income level, then you're going to find out that you've got a substantial subsidy to come to help you pay for your premiums.
Is there any avenue for the public to either comment or just ask questions about the policies?
There is. You know, there have been several avenues. As rules have come out for the exchange at the federal level, there has always been a public comment period. Right now, when you see, for example, the rates have been published, there's a 30-day public comment period. You can go right to the Division of Insurance and offer public comment or send them in other ways. So as things are developing, I anticipate that people are going to be very involved in the process, and that's what's going to make the process strong. So we can anticipate that this will roll out with some glitches, because none of us have ever done an exchange before in the United States. We've never gone through the process that we're going through right now. So anticipating that there will probably and most likely be some glitches, the more involved people are and can report that to the state and get those glitches turned around and processed quickly and addressed, then the process will smooth out even more so as we go forward.
And anything you'd like to add?
Well, I think it's just a new day for healthcare. In New Mexico, as you know, we have the second highest number of people who are uninsured. And with the expansion of Medicaid, which our governor approved, thank goodness, and the exchange, we are going to be able to cover almost everyone in New Mexico.
Barbara Weber of Health Action New Mexico, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR, which will continue in just a moment.
Mysteries, gardening, history, cooking. The fourth annual KSFR Book and Media Sale is coming up on August 2nd and 3rd, and we need your help to get ready. Bring your donations of gently used books, records, CDs, and DVDs to KSFR. You'll help make your great local radio station even better and share your treasures with our community. All donations are tax deductible. For more information, call 428-1527. That's 428-1527.
Support comes from New Mexico Educators Federal Credit Union, where the more you participate in your not-for-profit financial cooperative, the more money you earn. For details on Earn Your Return, go to nmefcu.org or visit their branch on St. Michael's Drive.
20 minutes past the hour as At Noon continues. By the way, I do have a correction to make. A listener called in and said I had badly mangled the name of our local hero and esteemed Medal of Honor recipient. He is Sergeant Leroy Petrie, and not, as I pronounced it, Petrie, which would make him related to Robin Laura Petrie of the old Dick Van Dyke Show. Sergeant, if you're listening, our apologies. Continuing along, a new educational opportunity is going to allow more New Mexicans to find work in the film industry. KSFR news reporter Charles Maynard joins us now and has this story.
Many New Mexicans have become involved in the film industry. Now, thanks to a new online program from the Santa Fe University of Art and Design, it will be possible for more folks to get into the business. Larry Hines is the university president.
We have launched an online film certificate. It's a unique program in that it's 100% fully online, so students do not need to physically be anywhere other than their home or their work or wherever it's convenient for them to complete the coursework. It's targeted mainly towards adult learners and those adult learners who wish to either move within the film industry, they're already working in some role within the film industry, or they want to enter into the film industry in some way. The program develops the skills necessary to gain employment within the film industry. Well, we're looking at class sizes of 20 to 1, so each class will have a faculty member and up to 20 students within the class. Frankly, because of the technology, we can handle multiple classes, and so that's not an issue at all. We can just open up additional sections and hire more faculty to teach or use our faculty to teach. It's a pretty comprehensive certificate. There's writing courses, producing courses, concepts on directing, lighting, editing. There's some weight put towards the digital realm, so digital media, post-production, technology and tools used in film. There are multiple tracks. If somebody wants to take a writing direction track, that's available. There's also a producing editing track, and then there's a self-design major where you can put together a number of courses to develop your own specialization.
While not cheap, scholarships are available to help with tuition costs.
The base tuition is $12,800, and that pays for the certificate, all of the teaching, the electronic classroom, and all of that. We are offering a 50% scholarship for the first intake, and so students who will be joining us for the August 26th start receive a 50% scholarship automatically as long as they qualify for admissions into the program, and so that would be a net tuition of $6,400. In terms of other equipment that is needed, we recommend three camera options, all Canon-based cameras. Nothing super expensive, but we teach by having students experience the courses, and so there is some hands-on, there's a lot of hands-on activities with that. There are some software programs that have to be purchased as well, especially on the post-production. Again, nothing super sophisticated. The benefit of technology in this film world is that it's driven prices down pretty significantly.
Hines says that online courses are becoming a popular, accepted way to learn.
I would say that most of the research today shows that online learning for adult learners is as effective or more effective than face-to-face. And that's really what has led to the explosion in offering online classes, and it's bricks and mortars. You know, New Mexico State's offering online classes, University of New Mexico, even Harvard's offering online classes. And so I think the credibility of the learning outcomes within this online environment, especially for adult learners, is pretty sound.
Larry Hines with the Santa Fe University of Art and Design.
Just excited we're receiving inquiries and admitting students and enrolling right now. August 26th is the first term start, and we have room and are accepting applications, and the 50% scholarship applies.
For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
A new study has come out regarding highway litter and accidents. We're joined now by Doug Shoup with AAA New Mexico. Doug, tell us about this study.
The AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety did this study several years ago, and it found that, you know, vehicle parts, cargo, or other materials that have been unintentionally fallen or discharged from a vehicle onto the roadway is estimated to cause about 25,000 crashes each year in North America. And unfortunately, sadly, this results in between 80 to 90 fatalities.
Where does the debris come from?
Well, we're talking about it could be shredded tires, rusty car parts, or even stuff that's fallen from commercial vehicles. All of this road debris that litters our nation's highways causes these wrecks and then unfortunately injuries and fatalities. So we're talking about both personal vehicles, family vehicles, as well as commercial trucks that cause the litter to be strewn all across our highways.
Most people's reaction to debris in the roadway is to swerve to avoid hitting it, particularly at high speeds. That would seem to be a dangerous tactic.
You're right. You know, any time that you swerve at a high rate of speed, you could end up in a very serious car accident, a car crash. So that's why you need to definitely always follow the speed limit. Keep a safe distance from commercial vehicles. That's one thing that we certainly recommend that folks do. You always want to maintain a safe following distance from other vehicles. At highway speeds, this means allowing at least 4 to 5 seconds between you and the vehicle in front of you. Give yourself extra distance if following a vehicle that's carrying large or difficult to secure cargo. You don't want to have to be in that position where you're forced to either swerve or hit the debris that's fallen onto the roadway. It's best to leave plenty of distance. That way it will allow you to slow yourself down. You want to also focus your vision farther down the road. You know, we always try and tell our young, inexperienced drivers how important it is to develop those skills to scan ahead. We recommend that drivers scan at least 12 seconds ahead of you so that you have time to react to changing conditions on the highway, and that could include road debris. You know, sudden movements by cars ahead of you often indicate that there's a hazard in the road up ahead. So you want to watch out for those brake lights that suddenly come on, and that way, leaving enough space between you and the vehicles ahead of you is going to give you that reaction time, that ability to slow down to avoid hitting or being forced to swerve.
We're coming up on the 4th of July weekend soon. We assume a number of people will be traveling for the holiday. What can they do to assure that they won't be shedding debris on the road from their vehicles?
You know, we really want to educate motorists on properly securing their loads in their vehicle. Try to put everything inside your vehicle as opposed to on top. That's not only safer, but it also maximizes your fuel efficiency. By putting stuff on top of your vehicle and securing it on the roof of the car, really it just creates drag and reduces your fuel efficiency. What we also encourage motorists to do is report any time they see an unsafe vehicle or a load that looks like it might be unsecure. And then also, please report that road debris to your local law enforcement officials. If you see something, don't just assume that other folks are going to be calling that in. You know, just go ahead and take the initiative. Call it in, because we want all drivers to be safe. And if you see something on the road that could cause a problem for other drivers, just because you got past it safely, you know, don't assume that others may be able to as well.
Doug Shoup of AAA New Mexico, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR.
Support for programming on KSFR is underwritten in part by LAM, Los Alamos County Airport, a tax-exempt organization now offering 3 flights a day to and from Albuquerque International, coordinated with the most popular daily flights. Start your journey at LAM. More information at flylosalamos.com.
Do you own a car you're no longer using? KSFR is pleased to let you know you can now donate an unwanted vehicle to us, whether or not it's running, and receive a tax receipt. We'll do all the work and you'll get some extra space in the garage. To learn more about our vehicle donation program, call us at 428-1527 or visit the website ksfr.org. That's 428-1527.
12:30 here at KSFR in Santa Fe. Right here at the bottom of the hour is as good a time as any to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
I'd parked my car in a relatively small parking lot, walked into the store, did my business, that sounds wrong, and walked back out to my car, there parked on the street, blocking the entrance to the parking lot and blocking me from backing up my car, was an SUV, and the motor was running, and there was no one in the driver's seat or the front passenger seat. I couldn't see in the back of the SUV because of the tinted windows. But I stood there, raised my arms in the air, and screamed to the heavens, "Who the parks a SUV in the middle of the driveway?" About 5 seconds later, the rear passenger door opened and a beautiful young woman got out. Next to her in the back seat, what looked like her mother. The young woman started to walk around to the driver's side. I was completely, totally, embarrassingly, almost speechless, and all I could say was, I didn't want to hit your SUV. I drove away limping because my response was so lame. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
And with that, we'll conclude today's edition of At Noon, KSFR's extended noon news hour. Dan Garrity with you here at the news desk, with many thanks to my contributing colleague today, Charles Maynard. And we'll be back with more news of and for New Mexico for you tomorrow. And as always, we hope you join us.